Today's October 12th, and we're in the SALT Psychological book. We're looking at lesson number 2 in that book that's entitled Where to Focus. And our key scripture is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and this is out of the New Living Translation. Here's what the Bible says. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect. So I took and changed the pronouns in this next slide. It's the same verse. All I did was change the pronouns. And to me, it reads different. Look at it like this. If I don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, and I let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think, then I will learn to know God's will for me, what's good and pleasing and perfect. And I want you to think about scriptures in those ways. You know, when it says you, well, that's always the people you're related to, the people you work with, the people you know. You know what I mean? But think about the scripture in terms of yourself. If I, Wilmer, let God change the way I think, it will change who I am. And if you would be willing to do that, he's guaranteed to change you as well. So we're going to draw a diagram this morning. And it'll work the best if you turn your page into a landscape format rather than a portrait format, but lay it horizontally across. Because we're going to do the three interlocking circles this morning. And the first one of those, boy, that's not very much like a circle. Write the word spirit in there. And the second one, I'm not doing very good circles this morning. Whew. Write the word soul in there. Now, those two components about you are invisible to the human eye. But those two are the most important parts. When you exit this earth and go on to whatever there is on the other side of here, your spirit and soul will go there. And it'll be transported into a new body. And the third circle is your body. And now that one we're pretty easily familiar with. What is nice that my body is the nicest circle out of all of them, isn't it? That worked out pretty well. I like that. Kind of looks like my belly. It's nice and round. But I would like it if I could take myself and separate myself like that into pieces. But it really doesn't work. I picked up this really pretty gourd in the back there because it had three little nodules on the bottom of it. But the fact of the matter is, when you're working with your spirit, soul, and body, you can't take them apart to do that. It's not like you can just kind of abstract your soul from your body and work on it. You know what I mean? It's all integrated and interrelated inside you. So when you think of you, you know, you think of you. Originally, I was going to do a round ball, but this thing was just so cute, I just couldn't help but not use it. Think of yourself as a whole, but in that whole, there are these three major parts. Your spiritual part, your soulistic part, and your physical part. Now, the first thing we want to talk about is the spiritual part of you, because that's the most important. So draw an equilateral triangle going into there and write the word God in there. And what we're believing in this section is that if you've allowed the Spirit of God to come into your life, then it changes who you are. One of the scriptural passages that we read this week was from John chapter 3. And as I read that Monday morning, I said, well, there must be a way I can work that into the message on Sunday. Here's what John writes in chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he's old? Nicodemus said. Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised in my saying you must be born again. The wind, I turned several passages. I went all the way to chapter 6. Whew. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. How can that be? Nicodemus asked. You are a teacher, said Jesus, and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But you people still do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you earthly things and you do not believe. How then would you believe if I talked of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses was lifted up a snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. For everyone who believes in him may have that eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God, his one and only Son. So I wanted to read that because when we draw the diagram this way, with God entering into it, this person is born again. I was in the psychiatrist's office this week, and she was asking me about my history and chronologically doing my history. And I was telling her some of the events in my past history, some of the brutal, cruel things that I did, and my drug and alcohol abuse, and a lot of the things that I could still be in jail for. Her eyes got really big. And then all of a sudden, around 30 years of age, my life patterns changed. And she says, what happened? And I says, well, I met Jesus. And she says, you've been born again. And I said, yeah, doc. She knew about being born again. What happened to me at age 30 is, although I'd been in church most of my life, and I have Sunday school pins to prove it, I never really met Jesus in a personal way. I never had been born again as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Now, that's me. What about you? If you have not ever come to that point in time where you know that God came into your life, that there was a transformation process in your life, you should talk to me or Julie or Don or Denise or Deb or Clarence about that. And sit down and have a visit. And I said, you know, I'm not sure that really ever happened to me. Let us share with you from the scriptures the truths that need to happen. But the reality is, when we talk about this diagram, we're talking about somebody who's born again, who has experienced that part of life. So, the next thing I'm going to add to this diagram is I'm going to add the world to it. And if we were looking at the gourd, it would really be all the way around the gourd. But the world has an influence on our body. And when I'm involved with the world, I hear and see things. So I hear or see. Got to put an H here. These are the things that happen to me. Rejection. And failure. I had to look at the spelling of that so I didn't fail at spelling failure. But I relate to those things all the time. In 19 years now of counseling and discipling men, one of the greatest things that men deal with in their life is the fear of failure. And that haunts them constantly, and I'm one of those people who wrestle with that as well. And as we look at that part of our life, we have different things in the world that have an impact or effect on that. One of them is our appearance. So right appearance in the world there. Now, in the world, are you conscious of the fact that how you look is a major deal? Right? Since I've been on this cancer cocktail and eating these steroids, I have gained 30 pounds so far this year. And when I look at myself in the mirror without my baggy shirts on, I'm thinking, ho chi mama, I never thought I would look like that. Now, when I look at what the world says I'm supposed to look like, you know, a skinny old fat white man is not appearance-wise positive. So what that creates is that as I get that from the world, through my body, and out of my soul, I feel insecure. I don't think I spelled insecure right. It is actually spelled I-N-S-E-C-U-R-E. That was pretty close. I feel insecure based on what the world tells me about my appearance. The second word that I want you to write in the world over there is your ability. When you deal with your personal physical abilities and how that relates to the world and how the world scores, oftentimes, out of my soul, I feel inadequate. I've been saying I feel, but I meant to put that in there, in my soul. I feel inadequate in my abilities, and that's especially true in this day and age with the cancer stuff that I'm wrestling with, because I can't do things that I used to do easily. I don't have the strength, stamina. You know, and sometimes I laugh at myself because I'm carrying a 30-pound pack around. No wonder I'm tired. But part of it is the tumors that are growing in me, and part of it is the medications. But the fact of the matter is, on a regular weekly basis, I wrestle with my abilities to accomplish things that used to be normal. Now, part of that may just be getting to be as old as I am, which most people never thought I would live this long. The last A word I want you to write in your world is actions. And the effect of actions lead me to feel guilty. On a regular weekly basis, when I look at my life and the performance and production of the actions in my life, I often spend way too long feeling guilty that I didn't do more, that I didn't do better. How can any of you relate with these things, the inadequate, the guilty stuff? You know what I mean? You know there's more, and you know you're capable of more, but yet you don't produce or perform more. And I have all of those things going on in my life. Now, there is also this other side of the diagram where God is involved in there. And when we look at God and what He's done for us through Jesus Christ, you can write in the spiritual part that I am accepted. We did a lesson not long ago on that. I am accepted because of what Jesus done, and I am blameless. It's not that there's no blame, but there's less. I find myself, as I relate to God, seeing myself as accepted, as blameless. Oftentimes when you meet me and greet me, I'll say I'm blessed. Because I am blessed by what's true over here. Now my performance, it's not always that great. But based on this, I could begin to think a different way. Not the way the world thinks, based on my appearance, ability, and action, and my production, and my performance. I come from a blue-collar home where performance, production, speed at which you produce accuracy is valued. And the more you do, the better you are as an individual. And the faster and more accurately you do what you do, the better you are as an individual. We used to work at the steel mill, Ozzy and I did, and the more production we did, the more money we made. It was a performance-based financial system. If we produced 180%, we got not only 100% of what we were supposed to get, but 80% more. And so we would work to produce, and we'd get after each other who weren't doing very good at that production because it was costing us money, right? So the world does it all on performance-based acceptance and performance-based, and it's hard for me on a regular basis not to think that way. How many of you can relate with that side of the diagram? Me, I can do that. Now, because of what Christ has done through me, there are different things that I could think on. See, I could live my life based on this side of the diagram, where I'm accepted and I'm blameless. Now, if I do that, then out of my soul will come different things. I would be confident. Because I know who I am and whose I am, I could be confident. I sit in that psychiatrist's office and she asked me this real long list of questions. And she says, you know, do you have trouble in large groups? No. Do you have trouble in small groups? No. Do you have trouble with men? No. Do you have trouble with women? No. Do you have confidence to do this? Yeah. Do you have confidence to do that? Yeah. And after a while, she looked at me, you know, like, doesn't look like there's anything you're afraid of or anybody you're afraid of. And in a general basis, in most hours of the day, I could go anywhere and talk to anyone and not really have a problem with it. But that's because of knowing whose I am and who I am in Christ. Does that make sense? It's not based on my abilities, gifts, my performance. It's based on the atoning work that Jesus Christ did, and I put my confidence in Him. So a second thing, I could become complete. Now there's always something when the world comes at us that tells us that you're missing. If you had that, or if you were like this, then you would be complete. Right? Julie and I went for a motorcycle ride yesterday, and I saw several other motorcycles, and there's been time in my life that if I thought I had one of those as well as the one I have, then I'd really have a complete garage. Right? We went by and looked at, and you know, I rode by my favorite house. And I said, that's it, you know, that would be it. And Julie said, but there'd be a lot to take care of if you had that one. Right? But it's always like that. If I got the plastic surgery that Ron was considering, then I'd be complete, right? If I just fix this, if I just suck some of this out of here and put it back there, I'd be really happy. You know, took the fat out of my belly and finally had a butt to sit on rather than just bones. Then I'd be complete, right? But there's always something, isn't there? If the elections were just over, and if they just come out the way I want them to, you know. But there's always something with us physically or around us that wants us to think that we're inadequate, we're incomplete. But in Christ, we have everything that we need. We are totally complete. And He says He will faithfully finish what He started. And the last thing, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did. And I can live on that side of the diagram by focusing my thoughts and intentions on what God has done for me rather than what I'm doing. And when I do that, I become a more stable, complete person. So, it's all about where I focus, and if I change the way I focus from this side to that side, it will change the way I feel. It will change my daily experience. Now, Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning, I was having a really hard time. I was as clinically depressed and disappointed and discouraged with life as I have been in the last 4 months. And it was just the pits. And I was focused on a number of things over here. Although there were a number of people that I had met with on Tuesday and Wednesday that had some real life problems and they had some real impact and effect on that, really what was bothering me were these things. My actions and my abilities. It was really bugging me. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Any of you who've dealt with the cancer cocktails, it's just not fun. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then I get really hard on myself and feel very guilty about that. So I was sitting in my office and curled up in my chair, wrapped up in my fuzzy blankie down there, and I decided, well, I don't feel like doing anything else. Maybe I'll just go through this lesson that I'm going to give on Sunday. And I did the same thing I asked you to do. Open the book and started reading the scriptures and started answering the questions and got a little over half the way through and it was, duh, right? Finished the lesson, decided to put more focus on the fact that I'm accepted and blameless and holy and chosen and forgiven and complete and confident than in my performance. And it had a dramatic difference in the rest of my day, the rest of my week. I came out of the basement, told Julie I was on the way up, and I said, it's a good thing I get this in line before we go talk to the shrink, otherwise they're never going to let me out of there if I don't get this straightened out. Right? If I go in and tell her the truth of what I was just doing yesterday and today, they'll keep me or they'll put me on meds. Right? But I was able to resource God's Spirit within me through the study of His Scripture and through the honest expression of answering those questions to where my behavior and my feelings and my experience changed. That it was real. And all I can do is, like we sang that song for the rest of my days, the best I can on any given day for the rest of my days to try to remember and focus that. When I do that, then the tendencies to be drug and alcohol dependent, I have all these cool prescription drugs, you know, to deal with the tumors that are growing in me and the tendency to want to do them, subside. The escape into other things subsides when I'm focused on the Lord and what He's doing. So the intent of this is to give you the choice to choose either way. Now, I won't make you choose one or the other. God won't make you choose one or the other. The devil can't make you choose one or the other. You are totally free at any moment to change your focus. And when you do, I believe that'll change your experience of life.